Boston's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire. Presented by Audio Visual Consultations.
You do.
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
A national baseball team.
Little League.
Fantasy League.
All your fantasy sports updates.
Fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. I'm Matsui.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Hey, I got a hockey record.
That's interesting, man.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
Wait, don't go anywhere. Hey, on the other side, we're going to have Sam Stash as well. Oh, wait, we're already here on the other side. That's what I was trying to get out before I got cut off, but I just ran out of time. Anyways, it's hour number three. Welcome back to the Wagner Wire. Again, we have Sam Stash on the other side of it, but we got to give them what they want. Sammy, let's turn it up just a bit. Just a half hour, we're going to have Justin Wells, the managing editor of Inside Texas. He's going to jump on and talk a little bit about all we need to know for the end or for the updates around the 40 acres with the Longhorns, and I guess football, basketball, everything that we need to know with the Longhorns. We're also going to have Sam Stash, like I just mentioned, and every hour brought to you by Tom McKay and Audio Visual Consultations. We got to throw that in there as well. All right, Sammy. Let's hit it, buddy. What? So you've been knocking it out of the park, 6 of 6 with your Sam Stash. We have today what? It's today, Bad Grandma's?
I did a special thing for Zay.
Oh, okay.
We're doing Cowboys. Because Zay came
Cowboys
to me.
Cowboys and girls.
He came to me, you know, he said, Sam, I've got some confusing feelings. I just watched Brokeback Mountain. I'm not sure.
Wait. See, man.
No.
See, man, that's why you can't listen.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
That's why you can't listen and buy anything Sam says.
Right? So, wait, hold on a second. You're telling me he's. Are you calling Sam a liar?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't watch Brokeback Mountain?
Never seen it.
Neither have I. Actually,
heard it's good.
I heard it's great. We got a couple of sounders back there, but I haven't watched it. I don't know if it's. There's just some things that are tough to watch.
I'm not opposed to it. Will I be confused? Probably, but
sure.
Not the feelings. Confused feelings.
Not
just confused
feelings.
By the movie.
Just confused by the movie.
That's fair. No, but Zay's been playing a bunch of Red Dead, and I figured that, you know, we could do some good cowboy properties to maybe give him a little bit of auxiliary watching.
Where are you at now in the game?
Yo, man, I probably got a good 8% left.
That's it?
Wow.
That's it.
So are you doing all the side mode. Missions too?
Okay. No, I got in the story mode, yes. And the side missions, no, like all the animals
Where
and stuff. I can't be hunting and stuff all the time.
You can't be doing
time.
That. You
That's
can't be
not,
getting some pelts and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit too much.
Where are you in ranks of one of the best games played? Is it in your top five?
Oh, easily.
Really?
I'd
say so, bro.
Incredible
wow.
game.
Okay, I need to continue playing this because I've been really deep into Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
When does Rockstar not kill it? Like story-wise, game-wise, just...
I haven't, but then again, I haven't beaten Grand Theft Auto 5 yet.
Either. Really?
Yeah,
that's a shame too, bro.
I haven't beaten that yet either. So I'm close, but I just haven't. I'll get there.
Well, we have the secret word. I almost forgot.
Oh, okay.
Guys, yeah,
have
we
close to the secret?
Last week we did not hit it. If you ask me what it was right now, I wouldn't remember.
Okay, there you go.
But we did not hit it. I was vigilant last week too. I actually listened for it.
Okay,
so I would have known.
All right, I'm gonna do my. We're gonna do what?
Yeah, are you microphones on, headphones down. There we go. Are we? I think we're all alone, folks. I think it's just us. Okay. All right. We're all good. Today's secret word. I got my mouth covered up. They can't see it. Today's secret word is yellow. Yellow. All right, I'm giving them the thumbs up. They're putting their headphones back on. Everything is going. Wags
Can
can't see me or
here?
Hear me, so yeah, I'm giving him the thumbs up.
Oh, okay.
There he is. He's coming back.
All right. Here, well,
I'm going to come in hot. Yeehaw.
There you
All
go.
Right.
I like it.
Oh, I
no, that was
I thought
not.
That was a secret word. What does that have to do with my cowboy?
No, that's usually what happens when I watch cowboy movies. When they're riding on their posse. That's what it's called, right? The cowboys in the posse.
I think that's more like a vaquero.
Oh.
You know, one of the
well, hey, vaquero
Tejano
is cowboy
cowboys.
And vaquero is cowboy in Spanish, right?
Is it? I honestly don't know.
Vaquero.
I just know that's what they
doesn't
call
that mean doesn't that mean cowboy in Spanish?
Could be. I'm Mexican. I should know.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I took Spanish, but yeah. Usually, when the posse rides, man, that's when you're going to hunt everybody down, man. I don't really watch too many Roy Roger movies.
Why not? No John Wayne in
John
there?
John Wayne movies, yeah. That's
I don't have any John Wayne on my list either. I feel like I should preface by saying. I also wanted to give an honorable mention.
Was that a good vaquero, though?
Yeah.
I thought that was a lasso. That looks like a lasso.
What am I trying? Yeah.
That's a lasso.
I am doing a lasso.
Yeah.
I guess. Well, what's the posse usually
or
do?
Or a Magic Mike dance. I don't know.
Magic Mike. Hey, I'll be stroking.
No. He's talking about MF Doom getting it, and now he's talking about stroking. This is a lost
hour
cause.
Number three. Fan Fast, what do we got, Cowboys?
I wanted to throw out an honorable mention just because we already talked about it, so I didn't want to include it on the list, but it definitely would have made it if we hadn't already talked about it.
Okay.
Blazing Saddles.
Oh.
Blazing Saddles is like one of my favorite cowboy movies easily of all time. You got Gene Wilder? Gene Wilder kills it in that movie. You got.
I just saw the text line. It just threw me off a little bit, Sam. Go ahead. Gene Wilder's. I love that. We reviewed it on Midday with Trey and BK back in the day. Blazing Saddles. It's a classic, man.
It's like I said. We would hit it if we hadn't already talked about it. But the first one on the list I wanted to talk about today, The Quick and the Dead. You boys fans of The Quick and the Dead? It was an early Leonardo DiCaprio movie when he was a young boy. He's not the main character.
Gene Hackman.
Yeah. Sharon Stone plays a female gunslinger called the Lady who comes to town, a small West town called Redemption.
I love Sharon Stone.
Bro, that's what I'm saying, dude. And this was in
Slither.
Some good Sharon Stone
Basic
years.
Basic Instinct.
And
Sharon
Slither.
Stone?
You seen her in Slither too?
No.
She was pretty good, and she was a great actress in Slither as well.
Yeah,
Police Academy. She was also in Police Academy.
Oh yeah.
She had brunette curls.
Yo, she's underrated.
She's very underrated.
She comes to a small West town called Redemption, to join a single elimination quick draw tournament, which is pretty much being held by the town's de facto.
The town is called Redemption?
The town is called Redemption.
Nice, I like it.
Yeah, I guess they like that word in cowboy, right? A lot of the cowboy things end up being Redemption.
You gotta redeem yourself out there, Samuel.
But so it's being held by the de facto sheriff of the town, and it comes to light later on in the movie that he got Sharon Stone to accidentally kill her father as a small girl. He was hanging her father, the marshal of the town, when he was trying to take it over. And he gives her three shots to try and shoot the hanging rope, you know, in some old cowboy feet kind of stuff. Gives her three shots. First one, she just domes her dad.
Russell Crowe's in this too?
Yeah, dude. This is a good movie.
Sam Elliott?
I don't know if Sam Elliott's in it, honestly. It's a Sam Raimi joint.
Yo, this is an A-list.
It is.
I might have to check out this. I don't watch Westerns.
So
that's the thing.
It's directed by Sam Raimi, who's like one of my favorite directors of all time. He's super. So you know you're in for kind of a goofy ride, because that's kind of how he does his movies. They're like serious, but they're still wacky.
Right.
He's the guy who did like the Evil Dead series, and he did the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man trilogy.
Okay.
But yeah, great movie. Easily one of my top favorites in Westerns. And I'm surprised because Sam Raimi always brings Bruce Campbell into his movies. I don't see Bruce Campbell anywhere in this movie.
Bruce Campbell. You're right.
And he's always there. He put him in Spider-Man. He put him in everything that he does. But no Bruce in this one. Made me a little sad. Boys.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check this out.
Is Russell Crowe the villain?
Russell Crowe is not the villain. I think he's the main character, actually.
Is Gene Hackman the villain? Is he the sheriff?
Gene Hackman's
You know what? I'm just going to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely check it out. It's got all kinds of great little bits in it, man. There's like an Indian who claims he can't die from bullets. And there's somebody gets shot in the dong. Like, what more do you need?
I'm not watching this.
What?
Okay.
What?
57% Rotten Tomatoes. I don't think it's anywhere where I could watch it, like Hulu or Netflix. I'm not paying for it.
You're not going to go to Redbox?
No. What? No.
Does Redbox exist still?
I think there's one outside of the Circle K that I go to.
Right on. Good for you, Redbox.
Yeah. way to make it. You put Blockbuster out of business, and now you're still hanging in there. We love it. All right, Cowboys.
Next up, next up, I have Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare. Not the actual game.
Oh, the zombie part.
Yeah. Did you ever get on this to say?
I have not.
No? Wags?
I messed around with it a little bit.
So it was originally released as a DLC for Red Dead Redemption, but it was eventually a standalone title because Rockstar just doesn't half-ass anything. So people liked it so much, they were like, we could sell this all by itself. So basically, just imagine if all of your running arounds in Red Dead 2, Zay, had zombies instead. There's zombies inhabiting the world. You're still a cowboy. There's still really badass missions. There's a lot of fun stuff to do.
They're just
guns
chasing you down all the time.
They're always zombies after you. And two, instead of the horse upgrades where you would normally have to, you know, bond with your horse and stuff like that, you're just trying to capture the four horses of the apocalypse. And each one does different stuff. You know, they all have different little modifiers and effects that they do. It's a really
cool little Easter egg.
Yeah. It's a really wacky take on kind of the whole Red Dead formula. And it's really fun because you're still being a cowboy shooting at zombies. Like, what's not to love about that?
No, I dig it. I thought it was good. Especially, well, a lot of people were into the Black Ops zombies at that time, too. So I thought it was a nice little break, a nice little refresher.
So you think they were kind of jock riding, eh?
I didn't say that. But everybody was doing the zombie thing.
Yeah, zombies were huge.
I mean,
are zombies still big? Is Walking Dead still going on?
I think so.
It's still going on.
I've watched since Rick and the kid. Or actually, we ain't even going to talk about it. I don't know. I don't want to.
I'm spoiling stuff. Why are you not going to spoil stuff? This is the segment for spoilers.
I don't spoil. I just spoil milk.
Fair enough. Next up, I have our boy Jonah Hex. A superhero.
Megan Fox.
Yeah, this is a superhero movie where Josh Brolin is the good guy.
Thanos.
Yeah, he...
Hey, wait, he plays a good guy as Cable.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he was Cable. Wow.
He plays Cable.
How is that going to work with the movies if they have to induct him into the...
They make fun of it.
Really?
Ryan Reynolds already makes... I don't know if you've seen Deadpool 2, but...
Uh-uh.
Yeah, he makes fun of it. Sorry, go ahead.
You're all good. Originally a DC comic, but later adapted for the silver screen starring Josh Brolin and Megan Fox. And the movie has easily some of the worst acting I've ever seen by Megan Fox.
Terrible. Good grief.
Terrible.
Yeah. There's one
scene. Have you seen this movie?
I have not.
It is terrible, it's worthy to look at.
There's one scene where I remember he's asking her, they got captured by some folks, and he's asking her, oh, you know, do you have your knife in your garter belt? Do you have this? And she's like, they took that. And finally he goes, they searched you pretty well, didn't they? And she looks straight at the camera and goes, wouldn't you? And it's like,
that's awful.
It's like, are you kidding me? What is awful. What is going on in this movie? But that's why I'm saying the comic was way cooler. Jonah Hex in the comics is way cooler. He's got a pretty crazy backstory. His father would abuse him, and eventually he sold him into Apache slavery. So he was a slave for the Apaches until one day he saves the chief's life from a cougar attack, and the chief then adopts him as his own son.
Yeah.
So his actual son is obviously pretty pissed about this for taking in like the white man and all that. And so it even furthers his anger when they both end up falling in love with the same woman. A white fawn is her name. And so eventually the boy of the actual son of the chief gets Jonah captured by one of their enemy tribes. And he's eventually saved, air quotes, by some cavalrymen who come in, but they end up shooting him in the gut anyways because he's pretty pissed about them trying to murder all these, you know, Indians who are like his people at this point. And so they shoot him in the gut, leave him for dead, and he ends up finding an old trapper out in the forest who brings him in, kind of teaches him some more skills, and sends him on his way. He goes to find his old tribe, and everyone's just gone.
Oof.
So at this point, he decides to become a bounty hunter. Instead of donning a six-shooter like a normal cowboy, this dude keeps a whole damn Gatling gun under his poncho. He's pretty hard.
The movie was...
His face is fried.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah, his face is burnt as hell.
The one half of it is. Yeah, but this was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
It was garbage.
Like, I don't even think I finished it.
It was garbage, but that's why I'm saying Jonah Hex doesn't get enough credit, because in the comics, he's awesome. He even has stuff to do in, like, the Crisis in Infinite Earths. He's involved in that a very small little bit, because obviously, you know, it's on a much more superhero scale, and he is still just a cowboy, but it's worth a read checking out Jonah Hex if you haven't ever read the comics of him.
Right on, man. Well, I'll check it out, dude. Michael Fassbender's in this. God, he was Amon, John Malkovich too. Come
yeah,
on.
They got. That's what I mean. They got some stars. Like, it could have been a good movie. It was just awful.
Yeah, just bad writing.
Horribly written, acted, just not good.
What's our next cowboy?
Next up, this is a little bit of a stretch for a cowboy, but cowboy's in the title, and they say cowboy at the end of every episode, so I'm giving it cowboy status.
Okay.
I don't watch anime a lot. I'm not a weeb by any means. I've only literally watched Dragon Ball Z and the show that I'm about to talk about, Cowboy Bebop.
I've never watched it.
So it follows.
I've never watched.
Here we go.
It follows space bounty hunter Spike Spiegel as he does pretty much what you'd think. Like in every episode, he hunts down a bounty. It's the action in the show is some of the best I've ever seen.
They pulled it up, right?
Yeah. So the action in the show is some of the best I've ever seen, and the soundtrack is ridiculous. It's all mostly jazz music, like really fast paced kind of big band jazz music. And it blends really, really well with all the action that happens in the show.
Just because it's just offbeat is because jazz is just you can't. For me, when I think of jazz, I think about just being spontaneous and not having a plan with jazz, right? Like
yeah.
Jazz is all over the place. Is that what you're talking about? The Cowboy Bebop is all over the place.
It is kind of all over the place, honestly. I mean, literally, it's like I said, every single episode, they're in different star systems, trying to find different crazy, there's so many different crazy space drug dudes that they hunt down.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Dude, this is a good show. This is a great show.
Sam goes, every single episode, first episode date, April 3rd, 1998. Final episode date, June 26th, 1998.
Yes. No, okay, so that's my favorite.
Eight episodes.
No. That's the thing. I think there's 10 or 15.
Wow.
But that's my favorite part about it because it has an ending. It's not like it got canceled. They had a story that they wanted to tell. They told that story, and they got out. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, that was my biggest problem with... I know Zay's a big fan of Dragon Ball, too, but that was my biggest problem with that is getting into it. You got to get ready to strap in for, like, 300 episodes of a show.
That's the point.
That's a lot, bro.
Yeah.
That's a lot, bro.
Yeah.
It keeps going, man.
It keeps going.
The story, it's like life, bro.
But that's what I'm saying is that it has an ending. It is a story. You know what I mean? They tell it, and they're done.
Well, don't some of the best shows... Well, no, I guess you have to have an ending, right? But, I mean, The Simpsons, they're still rolling.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like that's a little different because that is a show that anything can happen in any episode. Like, they aren't ever trying to tell a story. You know what I mean?
They're predicting the future.
They are predicting the future, but
I'm just saying.
But it's like a sitcom, you wrap it all up at the end of the episode.
For sure.
It's done.
You're right. You're right.
I'm sure the producers went on to make different things, but yeah, that's a smooth 12 episodes.
That's a strong
12 episodes. 100% Rotten Tomatoes.
It's good, bro. And I think they made
IMDb 8.9 out of 10, like that. TV.com 8.9 out of 10.
I might have to check this out, man. I don't know.
It's great, bro. Top tier, easily, probably, I'd say, just in general shows that I've watched.
I would say that this is a stretch for Cowboy, but it's in the title.
Well, so, at the end of every episode, they give you a little, it fades to black after the credits, and it says, see you soon, Space Cowboy. At the end of every single one. So that's why I feel like it inhibits, or it exhibits cowboy-isms.
Okay. Okay. Judges ruling. We'll allow it. Okay.
next up, I have Little Big Man. Have you
Little Big Man?
So
the video game?
No, is it a video game?
No, I'm thinking of Little Big Planet or something like that.
Oh yeah. Little Big Man. It's a Dustin Hoffman flick, and I feel a little bit like Forrest Gump kind of ripped it off. This was in 1970. I think Forrest Gump was in 94. And just in the way that the story is structured, because this is kind of another like history askew movie where the main character ends up being involved in several historical events, but kind of from the sidelines of it. And then it's also still a comedy drama kind of thing. And it after watching it, it's very, very reminiscent of Forrest Gump.
Okay.
But like I said, it's about a dude who ends up doing just a ridiculous amount of stuff throughout his lifetime. It starts out and his parents get killed by Pawnee Indians, and it's him and his sister get taken to the Indians' village. His sister escapes and the chief takes him as his own son and names him Little Big Man after saving another tribe mate. So he ends up eventually getting captured by cavalry soldiers and denounces his entire Indian heritage in order to survive, because he's totally just a coward. He's just, you know, wimps out. And so he then lives as a gunslinger for a while, and he even gets to meet, like, Bill Hickok, you know, like the famous gunslinger. Till he's eventually brought into General Custer's army at one point. They do that for a while until they attack his old village, and that kind of drives him crazy, so he starts living as, like, a hermit for a while. And then Custer ends up hiring him back because he knows that he hates him, and so he figures no matter what he tells him, he's going to lie to him. So he says, okay, I'm just going to do the opposite of whatever little big man tells me, because he's obviously not got my best interests in heart.
121-year-old?
Yeah, he's 121 years old. So that's how the movie starts, is he's like this 121-year-old man who is being interviewed for a story, and he kind of tells the whole story, and that's what the movie is. It's like a flashback. Jeez. Which, again, like I'm saying, Forrest Gump.
Him at 121 years old. That is so old. And the fact that they made, like, well,
man,
I guess,
I don't know if I want to live that old, man.
No, you don't want to be this old. No. But
bro,
that, yeah, man.
I don't like the thought
old
of death, but I don't like the look of that.
The way they made homeboy look.
It's like I said, it's a comedy. Like, it is definitely a comedy. And so, too, the best part is he ends up going back, right, after all of this stuff happens, and going to meet the dude who took him in, and he sees him out in the middle of a field, and he gives him the good old, you know, oh, today is a good day to die kind of thing. And
so is this a spoof, or are they just making fun of Westerns?
No, it's not even really a spoof. It's just, it's like I said, it's like a Forrest Gump kind of story. Okay. Where he does everything you could think of under the sun in that time period.
Little big man. All right. Cowboy up. What's the next cowboy?
The next one, this is our last one. This one was really hard for me to decide if I should put it at number one or at the very last spot, the very first spot.
From classy to assy? What's going on here? How can it go from one to last?
Well, I'm
going to
let you boys decide. Oregon Trail. The video game Oregon Trail.
Where's the cowboy? You're a banker.
You are
from
a cowboy. You're going out west, man. Westward ho. That was the whole point.
Jeez.
You're out there. You're hunting.
All right. Let's see. A judge is ruling on this. I don't know. But I don't see the cowboy in this, man. But
I don't even know what that is.
The Oregon Trail? You never played the Oregon Trail?
It was like a barely educational computer game from back in the day.
If we finished our math
tables.
That's
why I didn't play it. Educational.
It was barely. I think they just called it that so that way they could get it on school computers pretty much.
Yeah, I think it came with like the first generation Apple Macintosh or whatever. But you could, I mean, basically, if you finished your math tables fast enough, you got to play Oregon Trail. So.
It was you and your family of four trying to make it out west on the Oregon Trail, and random events would happen to kind of hurt your progress.
Yeah, you get dysentery.
Yeah, everybody got dysentery.
That was tough. But the really cool thing about Oregon Trail is that you could actually go hunting.
Yeah,
you could shoot the cattle and stuff like that. Shoot deer and whatnot and take the meat back.
But you can only take like so much. And
right.
So that was what was hard.
But you would bring it back. But you could also, like, people would spend a lot of money on, you know, food and whatnot. No, you spend it on the parts for your axle and everything because you need parts to make it across the country.
Your wheel's going to break a million
times.
Wheels
will break, bro.
The wheels break.
So you're just out here pretending to live like back in the day.
You're trying to get to that gold rush.
Yeah, you're trying to make it to the west. To be able to sift for gold. And basically, yeah, you are just trying to get your wagon from the starting point all the way out west. And you have to worry about, like, managing food. You have to manage your medicine. You have to keep everybody healthy. People are definitely going to die along the way. You got your little family of four.
You check in at
Wait,
forts.
What?
You check in at, oh, yeah, you're going to lose. Yeah. You're going to lose Betty.
Yep.
Betty's going to die.
Yep.
Well, somebody's going to, Peter's going to lose a leg. I mean, it's just, and if you're,
I mean,
a bank,
I know
if,
times were tough, but wow.
If you're a banker from Boston, you get a little bit more money to buy some stuff in the first place because you got it like that. You got some coins set aside. I forget, there's different types of perks that you get too if you're not.
Yeah, you could have different little starting kind of scenarios, and they would give you different little bonuses.
Like if you were a carpenter, you'd have more parts or whatever, but you didn't have the money.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
That sounds awful, guys.
It was great.
That's not a video game.
When you're 6 and 7, it was all right. It teaches you how to read, teaches you how to get through math tables faster.
I'd play it today. You know what I mean? I'd play it today.
Didn't you have to forge the river? If
that
the river
was
deep
worst.
Enough,
that
oh
was the
God.
Worst trying to ford the river. I got my wagon destroyed every single time by fording the river.
What about at the end part where you have to actually float down the river on the raft? You know what I mean? Did you ever get to that?
I never even got that far.
Yeah,
bro.
So that's how you beat the game. You guys,
okay.
When you get to Oregon and you cross the, I guess it would be the Columbia River. Yeah, Columbia. Look at my geography coming in. It'd be the Columbia River up there. You know, you actually got to float down or whatnot to get to your safe haven, your place, your final destination. And that's the Oregon Trail in a nutshell.
Beautiful.
Cowboys, huh?
Cowboys.
Vaqueros. Vaquero. I looked it up. Vaqueros is cowboy in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
You learn something
How
in Sam
that?
Stash every day.
Yes, you do. Sam Stash currently not sponsored, but we would love to have it sponsored by Stash Beer because it is one of the best beers that we drink. So just throwing it out there. Sam Stash. Kind of goes with Stash Beer. He likes it. I like it. Zay likes it. We all like it. So just throwing it out there. You know, maybe take it, run with it. Do what you need to do with it. We're going to take it and run with it. On the other side, we're going to have Justin Wells come on, pull the orange curtain back, talk a little bit about some updates going on around the 40 acres, get you caught up to speed there on campus, and we'll finish the conversations with NBA, NHL, and MLB. It's all deadly. All that and more here on the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Stream it live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We go to the Specs Tech sign real quick. Allstruck Construction says, who made this list? Punt, Sammy. Punt on your cowboy list. Hey, man, I kind of liked it, to be honest with you. I thought two of them, maybe the Oregon Trail, because you don't actually have a classic cowboy on there. Definitely got a rock. Who's this dude? John Marston. Definitely got to rock John Marston out there. Wait, who's the guy in Red Dead 2, though?
Arthur Morgan.
Well, you are on it, Zay.
Yo, man, that's the game, dog.
You are on it.
My fiance's probably like, oh,
you know
my
what I
God,
don't like
this
about
damn
it?
Game.
she's
so over it.
Already?
Yo, she's so over it.
You know, I don't like how you got to contribute to the pot. You know what I mean? How, like, you go and get all the spoils or whatever, and you got to give back to the camp. I don't know how far along I am in the game, but you know damn well somebody's taking out of that pot.
You don't have to. You can keep it all.
Am I right? Am I right about it? Somebody's stealing from the pot?
I mean, it works out at the end. If you put your money up for, like, all the ammo and all that stuff, it all comes back.
It does?
So, yeah. Yeah, it all comes back. You got to invest in, that's why you invest in those guys.
All right, well, okay. Well, I'm just saying.
I don't like it either
better,
at first.
Nobody better steal my money.
You're the only one investing, it feels
right,
like.
Right, that's what it's because I'm looking in the book. I'm looking in the ledger.
Exactly.
And I'm seeing, oh, okay, he's taken out. She took out. What's she need that for? What's he need that for? Why am I'm the only one that's depositing stuff. Everybody else is withdrawing stuff. What's going on here? Like, I mean, I'll catch feelings.
Yeah.
Catch virtual feelings.
Yeah, for sure. Yo, Sam, what was the word of the...
What was the word of the day? Did we hit it?
No, nobody said it. It was yellow.
Yellow.
Why would we say that?
Yellow belly.
Oh.
Yellow. You yellow coward.
Hey,
you
yellow belly.
You're yellow.
Was you yellow? I guess that was a thing back then.
Was it?
Why?
Oh, yeah.
Is the roots of that now? I'm probably wrong. But the origins of yellow, is it because you were a coward because you whizzed yourself? And maybe you had some yellow pee. Hey, man, I'm just thinking. You yellow belly?
I don't know. I haven't watched any Clint Eastwood movies.
I have. The only one I've seen is Heartbreak Ridge. I mean, I'm serious. Like, I really
haven't.
Wasn't
he a big Western guy?
He was in a lot of Westerns, man. Like, Outlaw Josey Wales. Like, I know the titles of them. I just haven't seen them. Two Mules for Sister Sarah. I think that one had Sally Field in it. I think that one did too. Yeah. So Clint got around.
I'm seeing that apparently yellow-bellied came from a lot of birds that have yellow bellies were very easy to scare.
Oh, okay.
Like they were very skittish birds. So
I'm
they
way
just started
off
applying
with the urine,
it to.
Huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Way off with that urine theory there. All right, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to have Justin Wells come on, the managing editor for Inside Texas, and talk a little bit about the updates that's going on around the 40 acres. I guess, you know, we got some new helmets to talk about. Yay, coronavirus. I wonder if we're even going to have a season. That's something that I want to get Justin's opinion on, too. It's starting to get a little scary. Like, because especially if MLB is going to close their season down, just play in a bubble. Can we put domes everywhere? Can we just have, you know, college football teams, you know, playing in domes everywhere? No, it's not realistic. But something's got to happen. I think we're eventually all going to catch this thing. Eventually. What do you think? You think?
No, hell no, I ain't catching it. Y'all tripping.
I'm telling you right now, I ain't catching it. Eventually, we will all have this as, we will all have antibodies as coronavirus. I'm telling you. It's going to happen. I'm just saying. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline right now and welcome on our guy, Justin Wells, managing editor for Inside Texas. You can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424. What's up, my brother? How you doing? Long time no talk.
I know, man. It's been a while since we've got to speak to each other on the air, but I love that you keep doing your thing. I'm doing my thing, and we're having fun this whole time.
You got to keep moving forward, man. We just got done talking about it. Like, coronavirus is really starting to take away from a lot that's going on. But I mean, it looks like, you know, people on the 40 acres, you're starting to adapt and overcome a little bit. You're starting to, you know, I guess engineer construct some helmets that actually have adaptations for the coronavirus mask and stuff like that. But real quick, before we even get into the 40 acres, sports is back, brother. Sports is back for the first time in 4 months. It's been taking a long hiatus. The major sports are back. You know, we've had, other, you know, sports like soccer trickle in and, NASCAR trickle in and stuff like that. Esports carried the way for a while, bridged the gap. But, I mean, baseball is back. For now, that might be taking a turn. That might be going on back on the shelf. We never know. That might be going back into hibernation as well, you know, if they can't get this coronavirus, under control. But, I mean, basketball is back at a high rate, and it's not disappointing anybody. And NHL, they're going into their qualifying rounds and getting ready to hit into the round-robin qualifying. So, I mean, that's not slowing anybody down now. I mean, the only thing really is football. It's kind of got a lot of people up in the air about it. Are we going to have a season or what, brother?
You know, I do think we're going to have a season. I think the NFL will have a season. I think college football will have a season. Beyond that, what that entails, that remains to be seen. I think the one consistency is no one knows.
Right.
No one really knows. I think every day we're playing this by ear. I think every day we're kicking the can down the road just a little bit more. Like you said, a lot of the big sports have come back. It's good to see baseball come back. It's good to see basketball come back. I actually like the NBA in this style because it's got an AAU tempo to it.
I think it's great.
It's got a practiced tempo to it that's – it's kind of fun. It's definitely more for the scoring side of it. It reminds me of the 80s in the NBA. And so we're going to have football this season. Adam, I just don't know in what capacity. If I was going to take a wild guess, I'd say college football probably has 6 games this year. The NFL probably a little bit more. But, I mean, at this point, I think everything has to be judged on a vaccine. And I think in the next 12 to 18 months, hopefully more comes from that, because sports is doing their best to be sports, to give us something to entertain us, to cheer for, to rally around. But at the same time, that vaccine is probably the most important thing, not only to sports, but to American life in the next year. And for me, I feel like until we get to that point, everything is going to be under a scope. Everything is going to be a little different. It's going to be uncomfortable. We're going to have to do extra protocols. There's going to be have extra guidelines put in place. But I think everybody's pretty much wanting – I think everybody's on board for that, especially if we're talking about the University of Texas. These guys, they have in the last 3 or 4 months have worked tirelessly to put these protocols into place and guidelines and hope for the best. because at the end of the day, we don't really know what's going to come from all of it. We just know that these guys are doing their best to get back on the field as soon as possible.
Well, Jay Wells, you're already talking about a little bit about it. Let's stay on the optimistic side of the house for the 40 acres. What are some things that we do have to look forward to as Longhorn fans and just brethren of the burnt orange as well? You know, when the football season does actually kick off this season?
You've got one of the best quarterbacks the school's ever seen. Number 11, Sam Allinger.
And a true contender for the Heisman.
Absolutely a true contender. I mean, if this is a big year, because if Sam can get his allotment of games, if he can get 10 or 11 games and people can find that, can see what he can do in his senior year, that's going to be huge. That'll determine that this team's success will be determined off of number 11, plain and simple. And that's, that's a lot to put on him. But, if you know this guy, that's kind of how he rolls. That's kind of how he is. That's how he operates. He takes ownership. And if you're a Texas fan and you really, really want football this year, it's because of number 11. And it's not just him. You've got an offensive line that's coming back. It's got some veterans there, some guys that are probably going to be playing on Sundays next year. You've got some wide receivers that are very talented. You've got some inexperienced, but they're very, very talented. The stable of running backs is ridiculous. If you go over to the defensive side of the ball, the athletes are ridiculous, and now they're going to be put in a very simplistic defensive scheme that should help them, kind of utilize their skills. And so I can see why there's urgency with Texas football in COVID, because this is a really good team. This could potentially be a great team. And so I can see why there's so much persistence on getting this season played and getting these guys in the best shape and protecting them and making sure everything's going smoothly. The only thing I'm worried about are those face masks, brother.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, I don't think these kids can breathe in these things, and I don't think they're going to last very long. I think it's going to remind us of when the NBA changed basketballs. I think that was, 6 or 7 years ago, and it worked for, 3 weeks? And everybody was saying, you're just going to have to push through it. You're just going to have to push through it. And then finally the NBA said, no, screw this. We're not playing with these crappy ABA balls anymore. I think that's what you're going to see with these masks. They're going to try to enforce them. They're going to try to play with them. But if you live in Texas in September with that mask on, LSU only thought they didn't have air conditioning last year.
Right.
The humidity would be at an obscene level. And so it's going to be fun to see how all this kind of transpires.
So, you mentioned, playing with the masks and whatnot, and you also mentioned, having, just the firepower of this Longhorn team as well. Some of that firepower really consists of supplementing the offensive firepower that left with Calvin Johnson and Devin Duvernay. You mentioned the wide receivers. What are we looking? We're definitely going to see Eagles emerge as one of the stars at the wide receiver position, but also Jake Smith and maybe Jordan Whittington. Now, there's been talks of Whittington still being in that stable of backfield, the stable of running backs, but you could also see him as a slot wide receiver as well. Could you be seeing a lot of 11 personnel coming out there for Sam?
You could see a lot of 11. You could see some 10 personnel. We talked about it last week on the air. You might see some more 10 personnel as well. I think you're going to see Whittington and Jake Smith used a lot on the field at the same time when it's possible, when it's advantageous. A lot of this is going to be drawn off what the defense is going to focus on, which is going to be primarily Sam and those running backs. When that happens, like you said, Brennan Eagles is going to be a guy that can separate. You've also got Jake Smith. You've also got Marcus Washington. That's another guy that doesn't get talked about enough. This might be pound for pound the best prospect in the wide receiver room, and he doesn't get mentioned near him as much. Josh Moore is another one that is hoping to contribute this year. And so it's going to be interesting. Mike Yurcich is coming into a good situation. Most of the time, offensive coordinators, when they're hired, they're there to revamp the offense.
Right.
They don't arrive with a three-year starting quarterback. They don't arrive with a five-star running back and 3 4-star running backs. They don't get all those kind of toys usually. And so Yurcich, I think, is the best get in this entire year. When you talk about all the coaches and the recruits, I think this is a guy that is going to help Sam a lot. He's going to help this program a lot. He's going to take a lot of the burden off of Herman from a play calling standpoint, from just a game management standpoint. And so it's going to be interesting because there's just so many good moving parts here. I know why Texas fans are eager and anxious for this season. I can tell you, and it's because there's a lot of good talent here, a lot of good experience. And so hopefully we get a decent season. How that becomes determined, man, it changes every day. You
right.
know, when you see stuff like what the Pac-12 did, you know, coming out with the list of demands and how they want to get things situated. And, you know, it's one of those things where 2020 is moving really fast.
Not fast enough, dude.
Yeah, and it needs to pump the brakes.
Right.
Because it's just there's so much going on right now. And that just but you know what? Like I said, football is right around the corner. And we're going to see what football happens. We've kind of seen a little bit. We've seen a template with basketball and baseball.
Sure.
We've seen what happens when the Florida Marlins go out on the town.
Right, but that's just a great point. Great point. It's a controlled environment, my man. You know what I mean? It's a controlled environment.
Right, and for these college kids, that's not the case. Now, I think you could see a lot of online classes for like collegiate athletes moving forward. I think this could push that a lot. It's not like they weren't doing it already, but I think you might see more of it as well. But it's just so up in the air how everything can happen. And now you have college kids. Like, these professionals are doing their best for the most part, you know, staying safe. You do have Lou Williams going and getting wings at a strip joint. You do have the Marlins.
It was a wing joint. A wing joint. He went to a wing joint, Justin. It's known for its wings, man. Not its legs. It's known for its wings.
That's why Ron Swanson goes to strip clubs for the breakfast buffet.
It's there because people don't know that they really have really good food. Really good food. They do. They do. All right, but you bring a great point up, though, brother, and you mentioned it. You know, the second part of the question that I wanted to ask about with the masks, right, is that kids are going in classes. You know what I mean, or they are in a controlled space for the most part, except for when they have to go into the class and interact with all these other kids, right? You've heard football players break. I can't remember. You know. There's been multiple players that actually brought this up. What happens when they interact with all these other players in and out of the class, or in not just players, but students and people in and out of the class, and they might be susceptible to pick the virus up that way, but yet you're going to restrict their breathing and put them, make them wear masks and make them, you know, run and you know, trash people on a football field at full contact and not expect them to pick up the virus that way? Come on, I think we just need to be a little bit more sensible and logical about it. If you're not being that restrictive of them wearing it in class, then why be so worrisome over the stuff that happens on the field? I don't know. I'm just it's to me. I think it's frustrating talking about it, but you kind of have to talk about it to find out where we're going to go with it. So I don't know, man. Right now, I'm very optimistic. I'm hopeful that it does happen. I really do believe we are going to get a football season. I just hope it's 12 games.
I'm with you, and I think 12 games is going to be tough. The closer we get to a vaccine, I think the closer we'll get to normalcy. If that means the 2021 season goes back to a normal, you know, schedule, non-conference and conference bowl games, you know, all that fun stuff, I think that's probably what you'll see. So 2020 is going to – it might be a portion of that, but they're college kids, man. You said it. They're college kids. They're only going to be so many guys that wear masks.
Right.
There's only going to be so many people that adhere to these standards, and there will be people that get sick. There will be people that get infected, and that's the liability, and that's what a lot of this is about, liability.
Right.
What is the liability each person in each realm? It's different with professionals because they're paid for a living. They're that's their job. They can make that decision, but when it comes to collegiate athletics, that's not it is their job, so to speak, but you know, they're not professionals. They don't get those little they don't get those amenities, and
right.
that needs to be understood. People need to understand the NFL might shoot out 12 or 16 games because they'll be able to manage those guys. Don't expect that in college. This is a different realm. These are not pros, and I don't think people truly understand the financial windfall that's going to happen from the lack of game days. Do you know that a Texas Longhorn home game generates almost as much money as most college football programs do in a year?
That's outrageous, especially now with the added beer cost, too. I can only imagine.
And so, yeah, I mean, once they put Starbucks in there, I mean, it was a no-brainer. Right. But seriously, like, these home games are so imperative for not just for athletics at Texas, but for everything. You know, football funds everything.
Right.
If you want to have other sports, brother, you better pray for football, because that's the means to an end. That's where we are in society in America. And so it's, you know, it remains to be seen how this thing's going to play out, man. But I do think we're going to have a season. It's just the amount of games is it's really, really – I think we'll see some finality come out in the next week or so from the Big 12 about, you know, just if they're going to do non-conference, if they're going to do a plus one, things of that sort. It's a ever-evolving, moving, fluid situation. And, Wags, I don't see that changing anytime soon.
All good stuff, brother. We were speaking with Justin Wells, managing editor for Inside Texas, and we got to thank you. That's all the time we have right now, Justin, but your stuff's always potent, man. You're always putting out that potent product, and we appreciate you coming on. You can find him on Twitter at JustinWells2424, man. Thanks for the time, brother.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love for you, my man. And thanks so much for all the knowledge and you know, the updates for around the 40 acres as well, man. Best wishes to you on this Sunday, man. Enjoy the sports. He gone already. All right, and on those, we're going to. On the other side, we'll talk a little bit more about basketball and break all this stuff down. I wanted to get into this NFL thing, too, right? Talking about how players are more susceptible, you know, for opting out. You know, they're going to get $300,000 opposed to players that aren't more susceptible that are going to get $150,000 if they opt out. All that more on the Wagner Arts on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com.
To the Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
Here I am, me, Zay, and Sam. We're bringing you in. Tying a bow on this bad boy. Last segment here. We got about 4 minutes. Hey, Zay, so on Tuesday, the NFL will pass the deadline for players to opt out of the season. Now, players that opt out will receive $350,000 and an incurred NFL season, or excuse me, for the NFL season. Players that that aren't susceptible to COVID-19 will earn $150,000 if they opt out of this season. What the hell? All right, first of all, I got a lot of questions about this. One, so basically you're talking about the bigger dudes, okay? Because what we've come to learn about COVID-19 is that it attacks people that are not as healthy as others, correct? At least that's what I've learned about this virus. Have you guys not?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, so now you're sitting here telling me that basically all the linemen, or mainly players that have body fat percentage of over, what, 15, 20, if that even exists in the NFL, you're telling me that they can actually be more susceptible for COVID-19 and get a purse of $200,000 more? That's ridiculous. And then what? If the season doesn't happen, if the season gets canceled, there's no money for anybody. That's at least according to Adam Schefter, that's what I'm reading. Players will have 7 days from the agreement is signed to decide whether to opt out of the season. Players considered high risk of COVID-19 can earn up to $350,000 and earn accrued NFL season if they choose to opt out of this season. Players without risk can earn up to $150,000 for opting out.
Yeah, and I mean, it's very interesting. Obviously, nobody's doing anything like that.
For sure, but the deadline will be passed on Tuesday, you know, if people are going to opt out or not. Now, it brings, you know, me to this point. We're seeing a whole bunch of people that are already opting out. Players like notable players like C.J. Mosley, Patrick Chung. You've seen players like Matt Stafford already, you know, get COVID-19. I think what, 4 or 5 Detroit Lions, maybe even up to 8. I got to go back. I thought I saw a flash of 8, but up to 8 players. I know 4 at least have COVID-19
on the Detroit Lions. So, I mean, again, this is getting out. We talked about how you can actually, you know, try to police this and actually try to keep this contained, and that's within a bubble, right? That's why the NHL and NBA are having successes, because they're in a bubble. You can't, and that's what we were talking to Justin Wells about on the last segment. You can't control this that well. Like, if you're going outside the bubble, somebody's gonna catch us. I don't care if, you know, they're more susceptible of because they're, I guess, bigger line, you know, bigger NFL players or what. If one person catches it, a lot of other players are gonna catch it. Yeah, that's my point. Like, you're trying to put a monetary value on this. Come on, I mean, maybe I'm digging too or prying too much into it, but still, I think it's. Frustrating times, man, is what I'm trying to talk about here. Frustrating times talking about money and COVID-19, and now people are opting out of the season. It's, I don't know. I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to stay optimistic, but when people are opting out of stuff, it gives me a little bit of a pessimistic idea. But again, that deadline will be passed on Tuesday. We'll see how many players in the NFL actually sit there and opt out. But anyways, great show. Fun show again today. Big shout-out and thank you to Al Walsh for coming on in the first hour. Thank you to Darren Muskowski from FanSmack to come on in the second hour. Big shout-out to Justin Wells in the third hour. And shout-out to my man Sam and Zay as well for bringing us in and off these Austin radio airwaves. Great show today, guys. Until next time, enjoy the ride.